Shalom and welcome on behalf of Teach 613. We welcome you to Take 10 to Talmud. Brachas Mem Aleph Amud Beis, Brachas 41b, pagination page 82. Starting from about 12 lines up, at the end of a line, De Omar Rabbi Chiya. De Omar Rabbi Chiya said, Pas poteres komine Michael, bread absolves you of a bracha of any food that's during that meal. V'yayin poter kol minei mashkim. And wine, a bracha on wine, will absolve any drinks that follow from a bracha. Now, this has ramifications. First of all, obviously, during a meal, we know we don't recite brachas on every individual item that we eat or drink. Also, there are times that a person doesn't know the bracha on a specific item, and he'll specifically say, I'll enjoy it during a meal. And like this, I don't know what bracha it is, but it's for sure included in the general hamotzi bracha that covers the entire meal. The problem is that there are exceptions. And that is essentially the topic that I'd like to discuss. Amar Rav Papa, the Gemara continues, Rav Papa says, Hilchasa, the halacha is, this is the way we paskin, if a food is being eaten because of the meal, during the meal, ain't to unim bracha, it doesn't need a bracha, not before, not after. And that is the common application of foods during a meal. However, if it's not because of the meal, and it's during the meal, to unim bracha lefnehem, you would recite a bracha before, ve'ein to unim bracha la'achareihem, and you would not recite a bracha after. And this is the example of desserts. You have something that could just as well be eaten as a treat, independent of the meal, just you happen to be eating it between your bracha hamotzi and the berachas hamazon. That item, Rav Papa is teaching us, requires a bracha before and does not require a bracha after because the berachas hamazon will include it. Excuse me, but it does require a bracha before. So let's be practical. If you have a candy tray that's being served, it could just as well be served after the meal during Oneg Shabbos, during Shabbos afternoon. But you choose to serve it at the end of the meal before Berachas HaMazon, presumably that candy tray, whatever you're taking from it, would require bracha before and would not require a bracha after. A similar discussion would take place if a person would serve melon fruit at the end of the meal. Again, if it's something that could just as well be served, if the presentation, if the entire aura of the food is that it could just as well be served independent of the meal, nothing to do with the meal, it's not machmas hasu'uda, then it could very well require its own bracha. One might ask, what about fruit that we use as an appetizer? And the answer is that that fruit in that application is machmas hasu'uda. It's an appetizer to try to get the person into eating. We start eating things that are appetizing so that we're ready for the rest of the meal. But again, if it's after you're full and you're eating it solely for the purpose of a treat, of an independent thing, nothing to do with the meal, then it would require its own bracha. Another interesting thing, sometimes shalashudis, you'll serve a fruit soup as the main course. There isn't much. It's challah and fruit soup. So then that fruit soup presumably is the meal and does not require its own bracha. Whereas if you would serve the same fruit soup in the same bowl, or perhaps a smaller bowl of it, so it's like desserty, at the end of a meal, it would require a bracha, according to this approach, because it is independent of the meal. There are certain types of tricks to purposely eat bread before and after, and perhaps during, different ways to get around it, but our focus is to do the basics. And the basics are that if the food is part of the meal, it doesn't require a bracha. If the food is not part of the meal, it's a treat. You pop a peppermint candy in the middle of the meal just because you're relaxing, waiting for the next course. It would require a bracha before, and even if it was a quantity thing that you ate, it would still not require a bracha after because Berachas HaMazon works. Rav Papa continues and says a case which we assume is unusual in our society, but he says the beginning of the next line, La'achar ha-su'uda, after the meal, tu'unim bracha bein lefneim bein la'achareim, if something was after the meal, totally independent of the meal, you actually removed the table, no more bread, then it would require a bracha before and a bracha after. And in practical halacha, we generally say that that is unlikely, it's not commonly practiced, even in the case of a Viennese table being introduced. The assumption is that the original table is still present, and a person could still go back and eat some bread and still consider it part of the meal. And even if we require a bracha before, we rarely implement this ruling of something so independent of the meal that it would actually require a bracha afterwards as well. If you have a moment, you take a look at Tosfos. Tosfos introduces this principle as an exception, even though the Gemara rules like this. It's the end of the Tosfos La'achar, about 10 lines at the up from the bottom, at the end of a line. Va'achshav ein lanu din zeh, we don't have this rule. De'ein minig shalanu, because it's not our custom, limshoch yadenu min apas klal ad la'achar berchas hamazon, we don't stop eating bread until after benching. And even if, Tosfos says, we are eating the fruit or whatever it is before Berachas HaMazon, we still might go back to eating bread. And therefore, we don't have this extreme rule of a bracha before and after. It's limited to the dessert case, which would cause a bracha before, but it would be included in Berachas HaMazon. The Gemara continues. Shalu es ben Zoma, they asked ben Zoma, Mepnei ma omru, why is this rule that something in the middle of a meal does not require a bracha before or after? He told them, because the bread includes them, absolves them of a bracha. Asks the Gemara, so wine should also be included in this absolving. Why is it that wine during the meal would require its own bracha? And this is something, by the way, that many people don't realize. If you drink wine in the middle of a meal, it requires a hagafen. It's unlike other drinks that are simply included as part of the meal. The Gemara says, "Shaini yayin degorim bracha la'atzmo." Yayin, wine is in a different league than other drinks. The reason most people don't realize this is because when do we normally have wine? Let's say by a Shabbos table, we already made Kiddush, and the Kiddush includes the wine. So that the wine during the meal, maybe it'll get Atova HaMeitiv, maybe we'll have an opportunity to do that bracha at a different time. But if you would just drink some wine, more of the wine from Kiddush, or wine of a similar or lesser grade during the meal, it's included in the Hagafen that was recited before Hamotzi. And that's fine. But if a person goes out to dinner, no Kiddush, and they're drinking wine at that meal, it would require a hagafen. Similarly, if a person, let's say Shabbos morning, makes Kiddush in shul, and then comes home, and does not recite Kiddush a second time at that meal, so then wine that he drinks during the Shabbos morning meal has no Kiddush preceding it of a Hagafen, because he already made a Bracha Acharona in Shul, and the wine that he drinks during that meal would require a Hagafen. once you recite the Hagafen on wine, all other drinks are tafel la, are considered included in the Hagafen. That's also an important halacha. But as far as we're concerned, for our sugya, all foods are included with the bread, except foods that are not included in the meal, or wine because of its importance. Thank you for joining. Have a wonderful day.